volume, what is it?
Okay, in this chapter 16, Krishna is speaking about the divine and the demoniac qualities, Devi and Asura Sampat. And in the very first three verses, he gave us 26 qualities of divine nature, people who have a divine nature. And then in verse number 4, he gave us 6 qualities of people who have demoniac properties. And in order to explain further about demoniac people, he wants us to know what is actually, how do the demoniac people behave, what is the nature of their character, how do they speak, how do they conduct themselves. Because we must understand, demoniac people are, in present day terms, those who have ego, those who give in to anger, those who have tremendous amount of desires, those who value a life of karma and artha and don't give much prominence to dharma and moksha. So that is what is meant by demoniacal. And in order to explain further what is their nature, what is their character, what is their conduct, so from verses 6 onwards up to the end of this chapter, Krishna wants to explain to us further about the nature of demoniac people. And we have already covered up to verse number 10. So today we will carry on with verse number 11. Okay, in verse number 11, he wants to explain to us that there is one constant characteristic of companionship of demoniac people. And what is that constant or common characteristic of demoniac people? He says they are upasritaha. Upasritaha means they are full of or continuously beset with what? Chintan. Chintan means continuous worry. Worry, worry upon worry upon worry. And not just one or two worries, but here he says Chintan aparimeyam. Aparimeyam means uncountable. Tremendous amount of worries always go through their minds. And what are their main worries? Their main worries are not whether they are going to attain moksha or whether they are going to attain spiritual growth, but their main worries are only about two things. One is acquisition and one is preservation. What they have, how to hold on to. What they don't have, how are they going to get it. So constantly thinking about worry. So the scriptures also tell us, when we have so many amount of desires, at every stage we are unhappy. When we have a desire and we have not attained that desire, are we happy or sad? Until we attain it. So as long as we don't attain it, we keep on running and running after the desire, we are not in a state of happiness. And when we attain it, are we happy? Yes, you are happy. But temporarily happy. Why? Because then something better comes up, isn't it? If you have this, suddenly 3 days later they launch something new, a new car model, a new handphone model, or your neighbor buys some, renovates his house even more better than what you did. So again what happens? Again I am not happy. And the third time when you are not happy is when you lose what you are attached to. So at all stages, in pursuit you are not happy, in attainment you are not happy, in the loss of what you are attached to also, you are not happy also. So Krishna says they are beset with tremendous amount of what we call of worries, worries upon worries. That's why in English they have very nice vocabulary to express. Past tense, present tense, future tense also. So in all periods of time, past tense, present also tense, future also kind of okay. This is the nature of demonic people. They just cannot rest. And when do the worries come to an end? Is it when they satisfy their desires? So he says here, their worries will only come to an end upon pralayantam, when they die. Only when they die. Until that, they will be carrying all their worries to their grave also. They go on worrying for the whole of their lives. And why is it that they worry? Because Krishna says here that Parama, the word in the third line, you see the end of the word, third line, Parama, means their highest goal. The reason why they worry is because their highest dream, their highest vision, their highest goal is what? Kama Upaboga. So there's Kama Upaboga Parama. Parama means they give priority in their life to Kama Upaboga, which means they are engrossed in the enjoyment of desirable objects. Continuously thinking, how can I get more and more happiness from this world? How by buying things, by acquiring things, by going on holiday, by doing this, by doing that, how can I maximize my satisfaction in this world? So what is your primary goal? Parama, Kama Upaboga. Engrossed in enjoyments of desirable objects, sensual pleasures, acquisition of more objects, more higher position, more power. And it is not that our scriptures are against us to enjoy, but what they always caution, that whatever karma, whatever artha, desires and possessions you want to acquire, you must always balance with dharma and moksha. So it is not that we cannot live, we cannot buy things, we cannot go on holiday. But what the scriptures say, at least have a balanced life. But the problem with demonic people is, they give parama, they give importance to karma and artha, and they neglect dharma and moksha also. So he says, why these people also give prominence to their desires, to satisfaction of desires? Why do they spend their whole lives pursuing these desires? He says, because nishchita. So nishchita here appears in the fourth line. Nishchita means they are very convinced. They are very convinced that the whole purpose of life is what? Iti etavat. Iti etavat means there is nothing more better in this life. What is the purpose of human life? Why was I born? The purpose I was born was to enjoy life. Not to help other people, not to do dhanam, not to pray to God. That is not the goal of my life. The purpose I was born is to eat, drink and be merry. So they have a wrong understanding of life. That every day is enjoy, enjoy and enjoy. What is there beyond that? There is nothing beyond that. So then we have to ask the question, if your purpose is only to eat, drink and enjoy, then what is the difference between your life and the animal life? What is the difference then? Then why have you taken human birth? Because the scriptures say the purpose you have been gifted this human birth is to attain God. That is the main purpose. You have now gone through so many lifetimes, you have done so much of punyam and arrived at this human birth. And this human birth has been gifted to you by God to attain Him now. And yet you forget the purpose of the human birth because of your wrong understanding. You instead lead an animal life. So animals are also the same. They are also eating and drinking and basically enjoying their life. So, in fact, Swami Chinmayananda made a very beautiful quote. He said, the goal of humans is to elevate themselves from animal man. So what is an animal man? How do you classify an animal man? who only wants karma and artha. That is animal man. If your only goals in life are karma and artha, you are an animal man or animal woman. So then what you should do, you should elevate yourself to man-man. What is man-man? You add in dharma. When you add in dharma, you become man-man. And then from there you elevate yourself to God-man when you add in moksha. So that is a progress. You start with karma, artha, add in dharma, then add in moksha as a goal. And when you understand the importance of human life, then only you will begin to live like a human being according to the message of the scriptures. But as long as you don't understand, if you have the wrong ideas about human life, then you will go on the wrong path. So, the next verse, Krishna carries on to discuss about such kind of demoniac people. And he says that they are saturated with what? Asa. So the word asa here means cravings, endless desires. Their mind is filled with endless desires. And what else? With asa, you see, desires by themselves don't cause a problem. What causes the problem then? Not even endless desires cause a problem. What else causes the problem? Attachment to those desires. So what's the next word? Asa, pasa. Asa is cravings or desires. Pasa is attachment. Now what is the difference between desire and attachment? What's the difference between desire and attachment? What is the difference between desire and attachment? Huh? Attachment is? Attachment is for what you already have. Desire is for what you don't have. So these are the two things. Asa, pasa. Desires and attachment. And desires and attachment, not one or two or three, unfortunately. He says, asa, pasa, satir. Satir means in hundreds. Tremendous amount of attachments, tremendous amount of desires. Satir, in the hundreds, uncountable. And what happens because of this desire and attachment which are in the hundreds, asa, pasa, satir, baddha. Baddha means they are bound. They are no more in control of their desires and attachments. They are not a master of their desire and attachments. They are a slave to their desire and attachments. They can no longer control. They think they are in control, but they are no longer in control. Why? Because tremendous amount of desires, tremendous amount of attachments. And that's why we are asked to lead a simple life. The less things you have in your life, the less attachments. The more things you have in your life, the more the attachments are. So that's why they say simple living, high thinking. Okay? Asa pasa sadher satir badha. By hundreds of desires and attachments, they are bound. And what is their highest goal in life? Para ayanaha. So this para ayanaha, you can see in the second line, para. Highest ayanaha means goal. The highest goal in life is kama krodha. That is their lifestyle. These are the two factors that govern their lifestyles. What is that? Kama and krodha, desire and anger. And we all have seen that this desire and anger are twin brothers. How are desire and anger linked? They come naturally together. If desire is there, tremendous amount of desires are there, anger is bound to follow. How are they linked? Unfulfilled desires lead to anger, depression, disappointment, agitation, etc. And when there are hundreds of desires, obviously you are not able to satisfy all your desires. So when you are driven by tremendous amount of desires, there is bound to be anger, frustration, etc. So this is the nature of their lifestyle. And when so many desires are troubling the mind, so what happens? They are endless desires. So what happens to their daily actions? He says in the third line, ihante, they strive for. They put in all their thoughts, energy, efforts, because these desires are driving them for what? Artha Samchayan. Ihante is in the third line. Artha Samchayan is in the fourth line. Artha Samchayan means they want to accumulate tremendous amount of wealth. They are not happy with little bit, because the desires are continuously driving them. I have 1 million, now I want 5, I have 5, I want 10, continuously. So Artha Samchayan means that they want to work hard, put in all their effort and energy for Artha Samchayan means to accumulate mountains and mountains of wealth. And what is the danger in that? When you want to accumulate tremendous amount of power, wealth, possessions, etc., what is the danger in that? It does not end, but what is the bigger danger?
If you do not succeed,
you use the wrong means to attain it. Because when you cannot satisfy your desires and your desires are eating away at you, so you will try to find some shortcuts, corruption, some kind of wrong way to acquire the wealth. Because their desires are now driving your life. So, he says, they use all kinds of anyayena. Anyayena means all kinds of foul means. Many types of ways they try to use. You can't go through A, try B, can't have B, try C. Anyhow, they need to satisfy their thirst for wealth, for power, etc. So, in order to satisfy kama bhogartham, kama bhogartham means their lust, their desire, they will go through any means, anyayena, to satisfy their kama and bhoga. And these are the people you will find in the newspapers every day. Very common. Open the paper every day, you will find these are the people who fall for get-rich-quick scams. You know, many times you would have read. Somebody calls them, they say, you deposit 100,000, I'll give you back 500,000 in 5 days. Because of what? Because of their intense greed to make money fast, to grow rich fast, to have, because there are so many desires. And these are the people who are prone to fall into these kind of get-rich-quick schemes. So, kama bhogartham. And, you see, initially, when we do something wrong, when we cheat somebody in order to get some money or whatever, or power, initially what happens? A little bit of conscience will prick you. Definitely the conscience is there. Initially you do the first act of cheating, the conscience will prick you. But then what happens? You get away with it. Then what happens? Become a bit more bolder. Then the second one you do, a little bit conscience is pricking. But you get away with it, you go more higher. By the time, what happens to the conscience? The conscience will start to justify that what you are doing is correct. Why? Because you got away with it. Nothing wrong in it. Everybody is doing it, you also got away with it. Somebody took 1 million, you only took 10,000. What's the big deal? So that is the danger. We do something wrong, conscience is there. We have a chance to change our life, but if we don't, we carry on the same path. Eventually the intellect would continue to justify that what you are doing is correct, go ahead. So, earning wealth by foul means, they take to ardharma, to adharmic way to satisfy their desires. Now from verse 13, 14, 15, what do you notice the difference? Do you see any difference in verses 13, 14, 15? These three verses. What do you notice the difference in these verses?
very subtle difference. Inverted commas. That means now Krishna is saying, this is how they speak. This is how they say. This is the language they use. So every way is describing to us how the people behave, how they interact, how they even sound to us. What are the words they use, how they speak. And the philosophy of such people is, time is money. What do you mean by time is money? When somebody tells you, time is money, this is my goal, my philosophy in life. What do you mean by that? Every second of my life is, how much money can I add, how much can I gain, how much wealth can I add. So every precious moment of my life is measured by how to increase my wealth. So, again, that's why they say, we have the Trinity, you know, Trinity. We have Lakshmi, we have Saraswati, we have Parvati. Why three? Lakshmi, all of us know, very popular. Because why? Money, wealth. So scriptures again, not against wealth. Lakshmi is there. Pray to Lakshmi if you want wealth. But at the same time, they give us Saraswati and they give us Parvati. Now, what is the reason? Saraswati is knowledge. Parvati? In a way, strength refers to health. So what is telling you? You have wealth, you have knowledge, you have health. That means what is it telling you as a Trinity?
Balance.
If you pursue only Saraswati, if you pursue only Lakshmi, you give up Saraswati and you give up Parvati, that means you sacrifice knowledge, you sacrifice your health. So that's why there is a Trinity. There has got to be a balance. We should worship all the three, Lakshmi, Saraswati and Parvati. We cannot discard the other two also. So Saraswati is of course knowledge, wisdom, meditation, japa, all this falls under Saraswati. And Parvati represents health also. So, but this is how the demonic people speak. This is their language. This is what they say. Idham manoratam labdham. Idham manoratam. Idham means this. Manoratam means desired object. This thing which I wanted, whether it is money, whether it is power, whether it is fame, idham manoratam labdham means I have gained. I have obtained it. This is what I desired and I got it. Maya adya, by me today I have attained this. I worked hard for this power, for this status, for this position, and today I have gained it. Now that's very good. You have worked hard, you have gained this power, you have gained this status. But are you happy? No. So he says, I got another big list of desires still. Because whatever I have gained, I am still not happy. So then what he says, imam prapshe. Imam means that other thing also, prapshe, I also should get that. I am not happy, I won't give up. Although I have got what I wanted, but I am not going to give up. Imam prapshe. By hook or by crook, that other thing also I will get. I wanted this business, I wanted this this contract or whatever, I will go for it. Okay, prapshe, I will also acquire. And such type of people, unfortunately also, they have to keep track of their current situation. So they are always checking their present situation. So what does he say? Idam danam asti. Idam danam, this wealth, asti is in my hand right now. So means what? I am constantly assessing what is my number. Am I number 4th riches? Am I the 3rd riches? Am I the 2nd riches? Because I need to know. So who is above me and who is challenging me also. So idam danam asti, this wealth is now in my hand. And then he will tell you, danam punar bhavishyati. Bhavishyati means in future, this also I will get. So I will add in more wealth, add in more land, add in more possession. So they have a vision in life. They have a vision. This is what I have. this I'm number 3 now, but by next 5 years I want to be number 2. So these are all the things I need to acquire. Bhavishyati. And again, how do they speak? So when they want to acquire also, they don't mind destroying other people. They want to improve their position, their wealth, their status, their power. They have to destroy other people. So what do they say in the next verse 14? They cannot bear to see other people also progressing faster ahead of them, because it increases their frustration, it increases their anger. So what they say? Asau shatru hataha maya. Asau shatru. Shatru means an enemy. You look upon everybody else as an enemy. Those who have more than you are your enemies. Those who have less than you also are your enemies, because they are trying to chase up to keep up with you. So basically, your whole world is to divide it into two enemies also. Those who are better off than you are your enemies. Those who are worse off than you also are your enemies. What will you do to them? Hataha. Hataha means I will finish them off. I will make sure that I destroy them completely. So you can understand the anger, the frustration, the desires that are driving them so much that they are prepared to destroy other people's lives also. And not only are they want to destroy the lives of enemies present, they say hanishe aparan api. Other people also I will destroy. That means not only my competitors, those who are connected to them, their relatives, their friends, whoever who are supporting them, those people also I am prepared to destroy them. So this just shows us the arrogance and the way these people behave, the kind of language they use. And unfortunately, these people are also very powerful. They have many connections. So it is not easy for them to be toppled. And unfortunately, also these people have a lot of supporters who tell them, everything you're doing is correct, that is right, that is right. So they have a lot of support also. And that's why they get even more carried away. They get carried away to such an extent that they can also declare, Aham Ishvara Asmi. Aham, I am, Asmi, the Lord. I am the greatest person. There is no human being who is superior or even equal to me. I am the most greatest person. But when these people say, Aham Ishvara, I am the Lord, somebody might question and say, but jnanis also say, Aham Brahma Asmi. Then what is wrong? Isn't it? What is the goal of spiritual life? Aham Brahma Asmi. I am the Lord, right? So then what is wrong with these people saying, Aham Ishvara Asmi? Nothing wrong. They also very spiritual. They also say, I am the Lord. I am the consciousness. But can you see the difference? Right. So, what is the difference here? When I identify with my body, with my power, with my wealth, and say I am the Lord, that is demoniac. When I identify with my good qualities, compassion, humility, love, kindness, and I say I am Aham Brahma Asmi, that is spiritual. So that attitude is, here I am the Lord of money, I am the Lord of wealth, I am the Lord of property, etc. So, Aham Ishvara. And because I am so great, Aham Bhogi, I will enjoy everything that I have. Bhogi means to enjoy. So, I have worked so hard through my wisdom, through my hard work. I have so many things to enjoy, my car, my house and etc. and all that. And I am also, on top of that, a lot of delusion these people have. They say, Aham Siddha. Siddha means, I am the most perfect person. I don't have anything wrong. I don't have any vices. I am the perfect human being. Aham Siddha. Because why they say they are perfect? They look upon their success in life based on their material wealth. They don't look upon themselves with the negative characteristics that they have. Anger, ego, lust, greed, etc. To them, these are not very important things. What is important? I look upon my success based on material growth. So they say Aham Siddha. And on top of that they say I am Balavan. Balavan means I am mighty, I am powerful because of my money and my power, and I am Sukhi, I am the most happiest person, the most contented person. And then in verse number 15, here again Lord will conclude how these demoniac people express themselves. Asmi Adhya. Adhya means wealthy. Asmi, I am wealthy. I have so much of wealth, I have so much of strength, I have so much of power. And Abhijanavan. Abhijanavan means I am high born. I come from a great lineage. My grandfather built this school. My father built this orphanage. They will give you the whole history of your father and grandfather, all the great things they did. I come from this kind of very high lineage, great family lineage. And then what he says, Kaha Anya Asti. Who else is there greater than me? There is nobody who has done more better things than me. I only gave so much money to this temple. I only helped to build this orphanage. Nobody else has done better than what I have done. So they are happy to boast about their things. In fact, everything that we boast is adding in another karmic debt also. We got to pay back some way. The more you boast, the more ego you have, some way it will also hit you back also. So, Kaha Anya Asti Sadrasa Maya. Sadrasa means equal to me. There is nobody who is equal to me. I am the most powerful, I am the most mighty. And we have seen examples like this, like in Ramayana, you've seen the character Hiranyakashipu. Typical demoniac style behavior, whereby he told all his subjects, don't say Om Narayana Namaha. You must all say Om Hiranyakashipu Namaha. So he thought himself even greater than the Lord also. No respect, no humility, no compassion at all. So we have seen this kind of examples, Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, and so many other examples in the scriptures. And we must understand one thing, not necessarily all these demoniac people are what we call, they don't donate. They also do some charity. It is not that they are demoniac, they don't do any good deeds. They also do. So, what do these people say? Yakshe dasyami. I shall perform all types of yakshe. Yakshe means I will perform all kinds of rituals and prayers. I will go to temples. I will conduct all kinds of grand ceremonies. I will do prayers. I will do rituals. Dasyami, I will also donate wealth also. It's not that they don't do, but because of their ego, they do it only to get more name and fame. And there's an interesting thing in India, that there are said to be 12 schools of philosophy. Initially, when religion was spread, there were 12, they call it darshanams, 12 schools of philosophy. And out of the 12 schools of philosophy, 6 schools of philosophy believe in the Vedas as the authentic knowledge. So 6, you can check all this, they are called darshanams. They believe in the Vedas as the authentic source of knowledge. But the other 6 darshanams, which were set up by different people, they reject the Vedas outright. They say the truth, there is no truth in the Vedas. Out of the 6 who does not believe in the Vedas is a very interesting school of philosophy called Charvaka. I don't know whether you've heard of it. Very interesting. Charvaka. I'm not telling you please to follow this philosophy because it's a wrong type of philosophy. The word Charvaka means sweet talker. So what is this philosophy of Charvaka? The people who set up this school of philosophy, they have only one philosophy. Eat, drink and be merry. Because they don't believe in God, they don't believe in punyam and papam, they don't believe there's such a thing called heaven and hell, they don't believe in such a thing called another birth. There is no reincarnation. So whatever you have here, enjoy, live your life. And these are the people here what we are talking about who believe in this kind of philosophy. And do you know who is the one who propagated this philosophy? Who encouraged this philosophy? is no other than Brihaspati. And who is Brihaspati? He is the guru of the Devas. But why did he come out with this kind of philosophy? It is said that he wanted to confuse the demons. So he came up with his philosophy to tell them, it is okay, eat, drink and be merry. There is no such thing as scriptures. There is no such thing as God. There is no such thing as reincarnation. Because he wanted them to destroy themselves. So one of the instructions in the Charvaka teachings is, Yavat Jivet Sukham Jivet. Yavat Jivet means enjoy life. Sukham Jivet. This life enjoy. Enjoy to the maximum. And then it says, Runam Krutva Grutam Pibive. If somebody asks, if you don't have money, because to enjoy life, you need money. Okay, if I want to enjoy life, I don't have money, what do I do? So the philosophy says, go and borrow money. Doesn't matter, you want to enjoy life, don't have money, doesn't matter, borrow money. Okay. Then they said, what about paying back? Because you're enjoying means you're only spending. How are you going to pay back? So the philosophy of the guru is, that is not my problem, that is a lender's problem. Why should I worry about it? I borrow, I enjoy life. Paying back, that is not my problem. Let that fellow come and look for the money. Okay? Then the next question they ask, but what about punishment? If you don't pay back money to people, you accumulate papam. So this person says, Bhashmi Bhutasya Dehasya. When the deha, the body is cremated, once the body is cremated, what is the question of returning back money to? So I die, I owe people money, so what? I am not going to come back in another life and pay back because I don't believe in reincarnation. I don't believe in papam. So I borrow money, I enjoy life. So this is exactly what Krishna is talking about. The people who don't believe in the scriptures, even if they do prayers, they do rituals, is only for the purpose of showing off to society. So they don't believe in God, they don't believe in scriptures, they don't believe in reincarnation, papam, punyam, all that they don't believe. So demonic people are divided into two, as I think I told you before. Nastika, N-A-S-T-I-K-A, who don't believe in God and religion, and Astika, those who have some belief in God and religion. And here Krishna is talking about those people who have some belief in God, right? They want, but the thing is, they have belief in God, they have belief in scriptures, but unfortunately they want to use that again for what? For more personal selfish gains. More power, more wealth, more name, more fame, or worse still, to gain power to destroy other people also. So here he says, Yakshi, I shall do many yajnas, I shall do many prayers, I'll do a lot of rituals, I'll go on pilgrimage also. Dashyami, I shall donate my wealth. Why? Why do I do all this? So I want to get as much punyam as I can from God. As much punyam as I can, and I also want to get honor from society so people will speak highly about me. So while giving charity, we know is good, and that's why in the very next chapter, Krishna will talk about sattvic danam, rajasic danam and tamasic danam. So even danam, not necessarily we give, but there is three ways of giving. Sattvic danam, it must be given with sincerity and humility. That will progress a person spiritually. Rajasic and tamasic danam, which is given with ego, with pride, etc., brings down a person spiritually. So we have to understand that, how to do sattvic danam. And then this person says, Modisya. Modisya means I shall rejoice. How will I rejoice? Because when I give so much of wealth, so much of charity, I do so many prayers and rituals, I invite people, so people will constantly praise me, people will talk very highly about me. And what is the reason Krishna says, now ends the inverted commas. Now Krishna gives his conclusion. Why these people talk this way? Why do they conduct themselves this way? He says, because they, for two reasons. One is, Ajnana You know what is ajnana? Ignorance, lack of knowledge, and another bigger problem, vimohita, delusion. So moha is delusion. Vimohita means very deeply deluded people. Okay? And ignorance and delusion can be removed. We all have some ignorance, we all have some delusion. It can be removed by how? Through knowledge. But what is the problem with these demoniac people? It can be removed by even cultivating some divine qualities. If we have humility, compassion, love, we can slowly remove our ignorance, we can remove our delusion. But what is the problem with these people? Because of their pride, because of their arrogance, they refuse to bow down to spiritual masters. So if any guru comes to talk to them, they think these people are all stupid, they are all wasting their time. What can you teach me? I know how to live my life. So they are not even interested to open the book, to learn something from the scriptures, to go and attend some spiritual talks. Whatever they hear, they always ridicule it, they always feel they are more smarter. So they are not going to get out of this state of delusion. Now, this word delusion, moha, is constantly spoken about throughout the Gita. You will find this word moha, moha, moha coming out many times. What is the definition of delusion? If you take a dictionary and you see this word delusion, what is the definition? What do you mean by delusion? Ignorance we can understand. There's no knowledge. That is ignorance. But what is this delusion?
Wrong understanding.
So what? How do you define delusion? Not seeing things as they are. That is delusion. Right? What is A you see as B? What is B you see as A? That is called delusion. So in human beings, this delusion is caused by three factors. So what are the three factors? Number one is avidya. Vidya means knowledge. Avidya means ignorance. And there are three types of knowledge which can cause problems. One is no knowledge. One is partial knowledge. You only know a bit, you don't know the rest. And one is no knowledge, partial knowledge, or wrong knowledge. Right? These three things can cause problems to us. Right? All these three things. And the scriptures call this condition as avidya. Now, avidya and what? We are talking about here, scriptural ignorance is nitya, anitya, vastu, aviveka. You would have heard this many times if you read the many scriptures. Nitya, what is real? Anitya, what is not real? Vastu means object. Aviveka means viveka means using your discrimination. Aviveka means not using your discrimination to understand what is real, what is unreal. And what is the definition of real when the scriptures say nitya? It doesn't mean that it exists and anitya, it doesn't exist. Nitya means what exists and doesn't change in all three periods of time. Yesterday was there, today is the same, tomorrow will remain the same. Therefore, anitya is what is changing through all periods of time. So same thing what the scriptures are saying, the deluded person looks upon this body as what? Nitya or anitya?
Anitya.
The deluded person
nitya.
Looks upon his body as nitya. This is who I am. This is my reality. So because of this ignorance, not understanding that my reality actually is this consciousness, we look upon our body as a reality, nitya. So, what is eternal, we don't consider. Body is temporary, we consider that as real, as eternal. And because of that, we spend so much of time and effort to pamper this body, to take care of this body, to answer to all the pleasures of this body, and we are so concerned when people say anything about us, we feel so sensitive. Why? Because we so much identify with this body. The minute somebody says your hairstyle is not nice, it upsets us. 1 week we cannot sleep. Because we are so much identified with this body. So there was a very humorous Sanskrit play that the theme of the drama was to explain about our fixation with this body. Why are we so fixated? So it was a courtroom drama, just to explain this. A man went to court to claim ownership about his body. The reason was because so many people said this body belongs to them. So he went to court, he told the judge, this body is mine, I want to claim ownership. Mother came to court, she said, what nonsense you're talking. 9 months I kept you in my stomach. After you were born, I clothed you, I fed you, I took care of you. Your body belongs to me, it doesn't belong to you. So the judge had to hear all the arguments. Mother came and told him, no nonsense, the body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. Father came, what nonsense you're talking. Without me, you wouldn't have been born. Your body belongs to me. Not enough. The wife comes. You are married to me. Whatever you have belongs to me. So how can you say the body belongs to you? Still not enough. The children came. The children said, you are our father. You have to take care of us. Your body belongs to us. After that, the boss came. The boss said, you are working in my factory from 8 to 5 o'clock. What nonsense you are talking. The body doesn't belong to you. You belong to me. Now the question is, the judge was confused. Who does the body belong to? We think the body belongs to us, but actually everybody says you belong to me. We have so much of responsibilities and duties to take care of. So it was a very humorous way to say that in reality, who is the real owner of this body? We think we are, but in reality, this body has been only loaned to us for the purpose of burning our karmas. And when we move on to the next birth, you are going to get another, or you are going to be loaned with another body also. So that is the first cause. Because of avidya, because of ignorance. That is cause of our moha, our delusion. Second reason for moha, delusion, is the quality known as mamatva. M-A-M-A-T-W-A, mamatva. Because once we are attached to this body, comes your second problem. What is the second problem? Once you say, this body is mine, then comes the second problem. What is the second problem? You are attached to the body, that's your first problem. What's your second problem? This body is attached to so many things, isn't it? Your house, your car, your family, your relatives, your friends, etc., etc., etc. So you become also attached to all that. Positions, possessions, relations. PPR. Possessions, positions, relation. All that also you become attached to. So do you know this quality of mamatva or mama is the very first negative quality that is highlighted in the Bhagavad Gita. The very first thing that Bhagavad Gita tells you, watch out for this quality. You know where it is found? Which chapter, which verse? This very first destructive quality in us. This is mine, this is mine, this belongs to me, nothing belongs to you. You came empty-handed, you go empty-handed. What belongs to you? Chapter 1, verse 5. Dhritarashtra Vacha. Dharmi. Very first thing that Bhagavad Gita opens with the first warning. Dhritarashtra Vacha. The blind king said, what? Dharma Chetre Kuru Chetre Samaveta Yuyutsava Mamaka Pandavaschaiva. Third line, Mamaka. The word Mama. Mama here, Dhritarashtra was telling my sons, Mamaka. Pandu's son. Who is Pandu's son? His own brother's son. So the very first delusion, these are my sons, those are your sons. But who are they? His own brother's sons. Which means his brother had passed away. His brother's son should be who? His own sons. So the very first dangerous quality there, Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva. And he therefore never supported the Pandavas. When they were cheated and they were all kind of atrocities were committed by his sons towards the Pandavas, he never felt any love, any compassion to them, because he always considered them as somebody different. So when we have this attitude, this is mine, that is not mine, whatever happens with that doesn't matter, that means we don't have a broader love, we don't have that universal love, that universal vision. And here in the Mahabharata, there is an episode when after the entire war, all the Kauravas have been killed, have been destroyed, have been killed, and Yudhishthira is returned to as the right king of the Hastinapura. Krishna goes to see him with one final advice. So Krishna is going back to Dwarka, but he wants to give Yudhishthira one final advice. So he goes to see Yudhishthira. He says, I only one advice to give you. He says, Mama is two syllables, right? He says, Mama are two syllables which will cause your death. Meaning what? Mama are two syllables which will cause your death. Meaning, if you have this attachment, this ego that everything belongs to me, it will cause your spiritual downfall. It will cause your spiritual death. Which means you will come back for repeated births. And Na Mama are three syllables. Na Mama are three syllables which will cause your spiritual upheaval. So it is for you to decide which path you want to follow. Do you want to follow Mama or do you want to follow Na Mama, that nothing belongs to me? So he wanted to give Yudhishthira a very strong reminder that the whole problem, the whole destruction of the Kauravas was caused by the father, the blind king, Dhritarashtra. Why? Because the very first word he said, Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva. And that's why they say not only was Dhritarashtra physically blind, but mentally also he was blind. He was overpowered by all the strong attachment to his sons. So that was the cause of his downfall. So Mamaka is the second that causes our delusion. This belongs to me, that belongs to me. But the scriptures say, actually you are only a caretaker. All this has been given to you temporarily. This body, these relations, these possessions, this power, they have only been given to you temporarily. For what reason? To grow spiritually. You are to use this to grow spiritually, not to use this to bring yourself down spiritually. So understand, when power comes, when wealth comes, you have to learn how to use this to grow spiritually. So that's the second. And the third, which causes our delusion, is raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. Constantly we are chasing, we divide the world into two halves. This I like, that I don't like. One part of the world is favorable, one part of the world is unfavorable to me. And scriptures again say, it is not the world that is favorable or unfavorable. The world does not have the capacity to cause your likes and dislikes. Where do these likes and dislikes come from? From your own mind. You are the one who are projecting likes and dislikes to the world. And the proof is given, very simple example, by cigarette. I've told you this example before. One person smoking a cigarette, this person gets immense pleasure, happiness, joy. Another person standing next to him cannot even stand the cigarette smell, gives utter pain and sorrow. So now if we say this object has got a capacity to give happiness, that means what? That object should give happiness to everybody. But we know that is not true. So why is it one person is very happy smoking a cigarette another person gets irritated. Where did this joy and sorrow come from? From within, not from the object. And then there's also a very humorous story told about a disciple who went to a Swamiji and said, "Swamiji, this world has captured me. I'm in the grip of this world. So many ways the world is pulling me to this and to that. Please, please help me to find a way out, to get out of this captivity." So the Swamiji said, "Naman, you come for a walk with me." So he took the disciple for a walk. They came across a very big tree. So the Swamiji went and hugged the tree. And then he cried to the disciple, "Help me, help me, this tree has caught me in his grip. Please help me to get out." The disciple started laughing. He says, "Swamiji, what nonsense you are talking. How can the tree grip you? You went and gripped the tree." So the Swamiji said, "The same way, not the world has gripped you. You have gone and grip the world. So don't say this world part is good, this part is bad. Because you yourself have projected onto the world, this is favorable, this is unfavorable. It is our own delusion." So that raga dvesha leads to delusion, moha. So that is the three causes of moha. Verse 16 now. What happens now when these people are trapped by this moha, by this delusion? He says, the reason these people's minds also cannot give any time or thought to pursuits of higher goals in life, because, he says, their minds are vibhranta. In the first line you will see the word vibhranta. Vibhranta means they are bewildered, always confused by what? Aneka chitta. Aneka means varieties of endless chitta thoughts. Continuously there are all varieties of thoughts coming in their mind. And their thoughts are not of spiritual nature, but of materialistic nature. So all kinds of materialistic thoughts come into our mind. And unfortunately nowadays we are bombarded by tremendous amount of advertisements from all directions, right? From television to newspapers to magazines to social network sites, everything is there. So continuously bombarded by advertisements. So the mind gets even more bewildered. I want this, I should have this, this looks nice, that looks nice. Constantly bewildered. And what is it they are trapped in? So very interesting word he uses here. Samavritaha means their mind is totally overpowered. Samavritaha means covered, enveloped by. By what? Moha jala. Jala means a net. Literally means a net. They are trapped in the moha jala, in the net of delusion. Because of all their desires, their continuous thoughts of acquisition and preservation, they are continuously trapped in their own moha also, in the pursuit of sense and material pleasures. And if you recall in chapter 3 verse 38, Krishna talked about three types of desires: sattvic, rajasic and tamasic desires. Chapter 3 verse 38. Again, therefore the scriptures don't say don't have desires, but they distinguish desires into three types. Sattvic desires, which are not, which do not grip us, which do not affect us. So they are mild desires, easy to come out of, mild desires. Rajasic desires are those which constantly harass us and we need to do something to satisfy those desires. And tamasic desires are the most worst desires because they cover you up totally, they envelop you up totally. It may take not one birth but several births to get out of these desires. So here he's talking about rajasic and tamasic desires. And that's why we must understand one important point which the scriptures tell us, that all human beings have been given three shaktis, three powers. One is called Ichha Shakti. What is Ichha Shakti? We all have the power to desire. It is given to us. It is one of our fundamental rights to desire things. I desire a better life, I desire a better house, I desire a better car, etc. Ichha Shakti is part and parcel of our human nature. But at the same time, God has given us the human form another Shakti. Jnana Shakti. Jnana Shakti. Because desiring is one thing, But I should know also what is the right thing to desire. I should be able to discriminate between what is right desire and what is wrong desires. That power also has been given to us, Jnana Shakti. And once I have this power to decide which is the right and wrong desire, then comes in the third Shakti, which is Kriya Shakti, which means I can then work to satisfy those desires. So if Ichcha Shakti is there, Kriya Shakti is there, but Jnana Shakti is not there, then you desire all the wrong things and you put in all the actions to acquire the wrong desires, to satisfy the wrong desires. So what is the difference between a Deva and Asura? The difference is not because of desires. Devas, divine people have desires. Demonic people also have desires. So the difference is not because one has desires and one has no desires. So what is the difference? The quality or the dharmic or adharmic desires. That is the difference. A asura has desires but he has adharmic desires. A deva has desires but he has dharmic desires. And all that difference is because of the jnana shakti. They have utilized this jnana shakti to discriminate between dharmic and adharmic desires. So, what do you mean by adharmic desires? What are adharmic desires? How do you classify adharmic desires? Destroy something or somebody. Sinful desires. Take a piece of mind away. That does harm. It's not allowed, not sanctioned by the scriptures. So generally there are three impurities in desires we have to deal with. The first is, like what you all said, contamination of adharma. Something which is prohibited, immoral, unethical. That type of desires we have to deal with. That's one of the contamination of desires. Adharmic desires. Second is, we have to learn to balance spiritual and material desires. That's very important. And this is our greatest delusion when we think, most people think, that only by satisfying desires I will be happy. That is our greatest delusion. Because if we really analyze it, the more and more desires I've satisfied from the time I'm young till the time I'm now, so many desires I've satisfied, I still come back to the situation what? I'm still not happy. Everything you satisfied, all the desires you satisfy, and yet you say, I am not happy. So that means what? The delusion is, by satisfying my desires, I'll be happy. But that has proven us totally wrong. So what the scriptures say? Balance your desires. Money is only one component of your happiness. There are so many other matters also to look at. Right? Happiness also can come from so many other factors. It is not only through money. And the third is, so what is the first one? Adharmic desires. Make sure you are not contaminated with adharmic desires. Two, lead a life of balanced desires. And number three, you must know how to handle the side effects of desires. Because desires have got five side effects. What are the five side effects of desire? First, we have just learned is krodha. When you cannot satisfy desire, you get disappointment, agitation, anger, frustration. Okay, so we must learn how to manage that. I can have desires, but am I able to manage krodha? Because if I have desires and I cannot handle krodha, then that desire overpowers me also. It leads me into anger, frustration. Second is, along with krodha comes moha, delusion, which is a side effect of desire. And what is this greatest delusion? That the more and more I satisfy my material desires, I will be definitely happy. So I pursue all my desires. That is the greatest delusion, moha, which is a side effect of desire. Third is, the more and more we satisfy our desires, comes about madaha or pride. Because when I fulfill so many desires, I have so much of power, I have so much of possessions, I look down upon others who have less than. So that becomes some madaha, that becomes some pride, superiority complex. Fourth side effect of desire is lobaha, greed. No matter whatever I get, I will always want more. That is the side effect of desire. And the final side effect of desire is matsarya or envy. Who do I envy? Those who have more than me. I'm always comparing myself to those who have more than me. I'm never happy because somebody always will have more than me. So all of these are the five side effects of desire which we have learned, which we have to learn how to handle. And if we do not learn how to handle, we become asura. You become asura if you do not know. Because here he said all the behavior of the asuras, they get angry, they lose their temper and all these kind of things. So all these five side effects of desire. So here in this verse he says prasaktaha. Prasaktaha meaning they are engrossed. Engrossed meaning they have unbalanced desires. They spend so much of time with material pursuits. They devote all their time and energy for material pursuits. So they don't have time for what? When you spend all your energy for pursuing material things, what you don't have time for? Spiritual. And that's why you ask people, why don't come for Gita class? No time. Why you have no time? Because I have to go to party, I have to go shopping, I have to do this, I have to do that. So that material desires overpower. There's no time. So these people, 5 days earning,
2 days
spending. That is their life. 5 days earning, 2 days spending. 5 days artha, 2 days kama. 5 days artha means collecting. 2 days kama, satisfying all the desires. Where is their time for dharma and moksha? And look at the irony. Bhagwan has given us everything. He has given us this human brain, the intellect to understand knowledge. He has given us the scriptures. He has sent us thousands of gurus also. So many swamijis are there. But we do not want to take advantage. So, who can we blame for all this? Blame God, easy. Simple, just blame everything on God. We can only blame ourselves. I have the human body. I have been given the intellect. I've been given the scriptures, I've been given the gurus. If I don't go there and take that knowledge, then who can I blame for the destruction I've caused my own life? So what Krishna says, for this destruction, for this type of destructive behavior, Krishna says, I have to come and do something. If they don't want to listen, they don't want to take the advice of the scriptures, they don't want to listen to the guru, then I have to come and do something. What do I do? Patanti narake asuchau. Patanti, they fall. Where do they fall? Narake, into hell. And what is the description for hell here? Asuchav. Means it is foul, unclean hell. So why does Bhagavan want these people to fall into hell? First of all, what is hell? What is hell? How do you define hell? How do you define hell? Then earth also is hell. Also suffering here also. Earth is another type of hell also. So hell is basically suffering. Basically suffering. All kinds of suffering. So when Bhagavan says they fall into hell, means they fall into all kinds of suffering. And when we talk about suffering, means also in the next life, when we take inferior births as animals, as plants, as insects, we lose that human birth and we fall into inferior births. And what is the reason that Bhagavan is to put us into inferior births? These demoniac people, huh? Why are we forced to go into inferior births? Temporary what?
They have to pay on their behavior, do whatever they want.
Huh.
Go out, go, do whatever they want.
So the main reason is, as a human being, you have that intellect and the power to cause massive destruction because of your greed, because of your desires, because of your anger. But in an animal, you can cause only very minimum destruction. As an insect, you can only cause minimum destruction. Worse still, make you a plant, somehow most minimum thing. You cannot plot how to bring this person down, how to destroy this person. You have lost that freedom. So can you imagine one precious human birth which has taken you how many lifetimes to reach, and then in one lifetime you give all that up and you go down again all the way. So he says, I cast them down to Narake Asuchao. And why is hell Asuchao, unclean? Why is hell here identified as Asuchao, unclean, foulest hell? Nobody wants to go there.
You cannot go. You cannot attain knowledge.
Desires are unclean. Don't you think hell also will be unclean? Sufferings are there. That's why it is unclean. There is pain, there is sorrow, there is suffering. That's why it is unclean hell. There's no such thing as clean hell. There is pain and suffering. And then the next verse he carries on. So I think we've come to our end here. We have very little time. We'll come back next week, and I know some of you want to leave for that Sunandaji's talk also. So we will stop here and come back next week. Huh? What? Huh?
No.
Yeah, because